Praise the Lord. Well, we will be opening our Bibles in just a moment, but before we do that, we do have a few prayer requests to take care of. One of these is we're going to pray for a girl that we know actually quite well, and it's a very, very close friend of Vicky. She was recently diagnosed with COVID-19, so we're just going to pray and ask that the Lord will bring her through that sickness with no lasting ill effects. I know a lot of people do recover from it, and we're trusting that will be the case for her, but we're going to bring her before the Lord, and then we're also going to just keep Vicky and Carl and Zach and Carl are in prayer as well. I know they're not here today because and there's that little scare with Carl at his job where I guess an IT guy came in. He had COVID and it was touching all kinds of things. So that's the reason they're not here today. They weren't here last week either, but they're just trying to stay away for a little while just to make sure they're all in the clear. So far, so good. They haven't been sick as far as I know. So we're just going to pray that it stays that way. And then we're also going to pray for Don. I know he really, really wanted to be here today. You know, he doesn't like to miss, and I talked to him yesterday, but the brakes on his car went out, and he was waiting and waiting all week, and they said, well, everything's slow right now because of COVID, and we couldn't get the parts yet, so he's really hoping to get his car back soon, and we're going to pray that that works out for him and that he gets his car back very soon. And it's so frustrating not being able to get around. It's really hard when you don't have a vehicle. That's something that I can certainly relate to. I've been there, and most of you probably have been there, too. It's hard to get around without a vehicle, so let's pray that that gets resolved. And then we do have a prayer request here also for Heather's family. Her uncle has taken his own life. He was 55 and has three children and very elderly parents. And, of course, that's always a very, very difficult thing to deal with. So let's pray for Heather's family and her uncle's family and just ask the Lord to comfort them in this very, very difficult time. Let's bring these petitions before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this day on behalf of Rebecca. We pray, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We know that she has been diagnosed with this disease, and we pray, Lord, that thou would bring her through it. We pray that there would be no lasting harm, but we pray, Lord, that she would be made well, that she would very quickly recover. We're trusting in thee, and we're believing in thee for a good report. So we ask, Lord, that thou would be with her, strengthen her by thy mighty hand, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Vicky and Carl and Zach and Carla, and we ask that, Lord, that thou would keep them in good health as well. We pray that this virus would not take hold, but we pray, Lord, that thou would watch over them and keep them safe. And Lord, we pray for thy entire congregation as well. We ask, Lord, for the safety of all thy people, praying, Lord, that thou would not let this disease come nigh to thy people. We ask, Lord, for good health, for we know that thou art able to grant it. And we pray, O God, that thou would watch over thy flock. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Don regarding this situation with his vehicle. We ask, Lord, that it would be quickly resolved. We pray, Lord, that it would be quickly repaired, Lord, so that he'd be able to get around and be able to get to church, for we know that he desires greatly to be here. We ask, Lord, that thou would be with him, that thou would strengthen him, and we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also bring Heather's family before thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with them during this difficult time, during this hard time of a loss, of great loss of a loved one. We ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful to them and let thy spirit comfort them, Lord, even in this sadness, Lord. We ask that thou would strengthen them by thy mighty hand and touch them, we pray. Let thy spirit be near unto them, even in their grief, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, we're going to open our Bibles now. And, as I always do, I'm going to put a title on it. The title of today's message is, Get Ready and Hold On.
Okay.
Because we are living in a world right now that is quite unprecedented. It has never been quite like it is right now. And I am in the process of writing a newsletter, so as you can imagine, that always fires me up a little anyway. And What we see happening points to one thing. We are getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of our Lord. And we need to have determination. We need to have tenacity. Yes, we need to be determined to hold out to the end. And you can do it because Jesus is with you. And we certainly can depend on Him. That's something that we all need to do. So get ready and hold on. We're going to now say another prayer right before we open our Bibles here, because we do need the Lord's help to understand and comprehend His Word. So let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee, Lord, for this precious book that Thou hast bestowed upon us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would move upon us by Thy Spirit. We pray, O God, that Thou would impact us in a mighty way here this day. We pray, Lord, that we would all draw nigh to Thee, all draw close to Thee. We pray, Lord, that we would lay hold on Thy promises. And we pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would comfort us, that Thy Spirit would bring us joy, that Thy Spirit would bring us determination, determination to hold out even to the end, Lord, and to hold on to Thee. We ask, Lord, that Thou would help us, O God, to understand and comprehend Thy Word, for we can understand and comprehend nothing without Thee. We ask, O God, for Thy guidance and Thy direction in all things. Let there be no hindrances here, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign, O God, and that there is no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus. We pray, O God, that Thou would give us ear to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 24 this morning. And I think most of us know what that chapter is all about. But before I read any of these verses this morning, I just want to share with you some of the things that have been happening. I have to keep up with the news, especially so right now, because I'm writing that newsletter. But there is so much happening. Keeping up is a difficult thing to do. And this country right now, the United States, is facing immense pressure from multiple sides. There's internal pressure because we're seeing all of this strife regarding race and so forth. And then, I do not have a problem. I've said this many times. I do not have a problem with peaceful protesters. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of what is happening at these demonstrations is not peaceful. And that's because agitators go in. A lot of people go with the full intent of being peaceful. I understand that. A lot of people aren't actually trying to stir up trouble, but you always have those agitators who come in. And I suspect that some of them may even be hired to do that, because we know that demonstrators sometimes are hired. And I don't really think they should even be called protesters or demonstrators, but rather rioters, because that's what they are. But, I remember Mom telling a story of this one time they were in New York City, and there was a protest going on, and, they talked to this guy, and he wasn't even really sure what they were protesting. It was just there. And so sometimes that happens. But, in Portland, Oregon, they have been protesting there every night for over 50 days. Thousands upon thousands of people, and a lot of those protests have turned violent. So in response, Trump has sent in federal officers, and they've been using flashbangs and tear gas to try to keep back the violent crowds who, by the way, have attempted to storm fencing that is supposed to protect federal buildings. So that's been going on, and then last night, there were thousands of protesters in Seattle again. And that was declared a riot because, as is so often the case, people were destroying buildings, attacking police officers, and setting things on fire, cars, buildings, whatever it may be. And you always have some looting, too. And I think a lot of people are getting tired of this. But it has gone on for quite some time. And, we have this contentious election coming up later this year. So when that happens, no matter who wins, people are going to be mad. So you could see more rioting when that happens too. But Seattle's a hot spot, and Portland's a hot spot, and now you have Trump who is threatening to send in federal officers to a whole bunch of different cities, Chicago, Baltimore, and of course they're already there in Portland, they're there in Seattle, but he's threatening to do this, and of course the mayors are up in arms about this. And actually, the mayor of Portland the other day, he went out there to demonstrate with the protesters. Of course, a lot of them didn't even want him there. They told him to go home and resign. But he was out there, I guess, trying to fit in and garner favor with them. But he actually got tear gassed.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know. I shouldn't be a little amused by that, but I kind of am. It's just, and he should know better. But, you know, we're seeing this happen all over the country, and it's been going on for quite some time. So you have internal pressure in the United States, immense internal pressure. And, of course, the COVID thing, they say, well, that's getting worse now. Increasing. There's hot spots all over the place, and 30 states have now declared you have to wear a mask all the time, mandatory masks, and, you know, they have all of these travel restrictions in place. And, you know, you can't even get in your car right now and drive to New York or Connecticut or New Jersey unless you want to quarantine for 14 days. But I tell you what, if you're planning to do that, you'll have to be away for a while. I've seldom gone on a vacation that lasts 14 days. So even if I was going to do that, I wouldn't want to spend the entire time in quarantine. But it's very difficult to travel right now with all of these restrictions in place. And, of course, in California, at the beginning of this month, the governor said, well, churches can't sing anymore because that spreads COVID and droplets in the air, spreading it all around. And, of course, now they're going back into shutdown mode in California and a lot of those counties. And, yes, they're shutting down the churches again as well, but a lot of other businesses as well. And they're saying, the doctors, they're saying that we need another shutdown in the United States. Shutdown 2.0, they sometimes call it. So we don't know for sure what's going to happen. Thankfully, we know that the government in the state of Wisconsin seems a little more reluctant to do that. So hopefully we'll still be able to be here and have church. But, you know, that's really something. When they said you can no longer sing in church, that actually is something that we're mandated to do by Scripture. The Scriptures tell us to sing in multiple places. It's part of what we're supposed to do. But if they can say you can't sing, what's next? Are they going to say you can't pray? Because if you pray out loud, that could spread COVID around too. Droplets in the air, you know. I mean, how far are they going to take this? But that's happening too. We got the riots, we got COVID, the economy's in trouble. And now things have gotten so much worse with China. I think maybe people aren't paying as much attention to this as they should be. And I thought this was interesting. I found an article from RT News, which is actually out of Russia, and it's generally regarded to be Russian propaganda at the behest of the Russian government. But in this article, they're actually saying, well, the headline is Split Societies, Global Chaos, and World War III, we could be in for the most tumultuous era in modern history. And at one point in this article, they actually go on to say that they think I don't know if they call it World War III or just war with China. They say it's almost inevitable at this point. And we know that, of course, Trump is hopping mad at China because not only did coronavirus come out of there, but, you know, there's been this trade war ongoing. And, of course, China is rising. They sense weakness in the United States right now. They sense an opportunity. You can tell that's true because of what they're doing in Hong Kong, where they're putting new rules in place and eliminating the freedoms of the people in Hong Kong. And, of course, we know that Hong Kong for a long time was under the control of the British people. And they negotiated to return that city to China, but they would have to maintain this certain level of freedom that the other Chinese people don't get to enjoy for 50 years. Now, China is kind of curtailing that early, but they're basically doing all these things, challenging the United States to get up and stop them. I believe that's what they're doing. Because not only that, they're threatening Taiwan. They're threatening to bomb Taiwan, and I don't know if everyone realizes this or not, but not too long ago, there was a violent skirmish between China and India. So there's a dispute there as well. And this article from CNBC, it says, China is stepping into global leadership vacuum as U.S. struggles with coronavirus, says Kevin Rudd. And it goes on to say, Kevin Rudd, president of the Asia Society Policy Institute and former Australian prime minister, said the U.S. has presented an opportunity for Beijing to seize global leadership during the coronavirus pandemic. From China's perspective, looking at the debacle of the U.S. domestic management of COVID-19 and the failure of the U.S. to provide global leadership in response to what is a global public health and economic crisis, then it's very difficult, sitting in Beijing, not to identify a leadership vacuum and to walk right into it, Rudd told CNBC's Squawk Box Asia on Monday. The developments come as China's foreign policy has morphed under President Xi Jinping administration, said Rudd, who said the change started toward the end of 2013. And yes, China, by the way, has declared openly that they want to become the world's premier global superpower. The global leadership vacuum during the coronavirus crisis is an open door for China to walk through, said Kevin Rudd, president of the Asia Society Policy Institute. So I think they sense that the United States is very distracted right now. And, of course, there's a lot of animosity. There's dispute in the South China Sea. And there's a lot of rhetoric going back and forth. And then Trump announced that China would have to vacate its embassy in Houston. And then China, in response, told the United States to close their consulate in Chengdu. So Trump is now saying he might close down more of the consulates and embassies in the United States, the Chinese buildings. And you can bet China would respond in kind. The thing of it is, though... That's the sort of thing that would generally happen before there's a war. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. And we don't know what the Lord will do to spare us. But we do know that we are living in very perilous times right now. And Jesus warned us long ago that as we got closer to the day of His coming, the day of His return, that we would see signs unfolding before our very eyes. We are living in that period of time right now where we are seeing signs unfolding. And they have been for quite some time. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Verse 1 tells us, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as you can imagine, his disciples and any other Israelites, any other Jewish people who were in earshot of that comment likely recoiled in horror. Because the temple was their pride and joy. They loved the splendor of this building. In fact, they're showing it to Jesus. You know, isn't this place beautiful? Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? And Jesus speaks up and said, This temple is going to be destroyed. Now, when the disciples heard that, they assumed that what that meant is that would be the end of the world. because they could not imagine a world without that temple. Of course, we know, and Jesus knew, that the destruction of that temple in 70 AD would not be the end of the world. So what's going to be happening here in Matthew chapter 24 is Jesus is actually going to be answering three questions. By the way, this is called the Olivet Discourse. So he tells them one stone, there would not be left one stone upon another. And verse 3 tells us, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You see, they're assuming, they're making an assumption here that if the temple is destroyed, then it must be the world's ending and Jesus is coming back. That's the only conclusion they could come to because they could not imagine life without that temple. But that temple has not been here on earth for quite some time. And after the Spirit of God left that temple, it wasn't worth much anyway. So, verse 4 tells us, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We should take heed because there are a lot of men out there who want to deceive you. And there are a lot of religious figures who want to deceive you. There are politicians that want to deceive you. There are very wealthy people that want to deceive you. By the way, speaking of wealthy people, Elon Musk, the owner of Tesla Motors as well as SpaceX, he's now designing an interface, a chip for your brain. And he's saying that this chip is going to be so powerful that it will be able to reprogram your thoughts. And also, as an added plus, you'll be able to stream music directly to your brain. You won't need headphones or speakers or anything. It'll just go right to your head. He's working on that. It's called Neuralink. But I can't help but think, you know, in the book of Revelation, when it talks about the mark of the beast, what does it say, right hand or forehead? Maybe that's the chip they want to put in your head. Isn't that something? It can reprogram your thoughts. It can cure depression. And you know, whatever else they think it can do. They're actually working on that, and they're working on it right now. These are the days when things that seemed impossible are now starting to happen. I mean, we're living in a generation right now where in a few years we're likely to see driverless cars going down the road. And eventually it could be common and normal to see that. Of course, I don't trust those things. There have been a lot of accidents. And it's interesting, too, when there are accidents, it seems like most of the time, the company running these driverless cars always says, well, it was human error. Human error caused it. Oh, and then there was another company that was working on these driverless cars. I don't remember which one it was at this point because, like I said, I read a lot of news. But I know at the time they said, well, we're working on this driverless car system, and it works very well. There's just one little problem. It can't go over bridges. So we have to have a human driver in there anytime there's a bridge coming up, you know. Like, well, we'll see if they ever get those bugs worked out. But, you know, it's quite a world we live in. Of course, they have drones now delivering packages. And they say that's been very helpful during the COVID situation because these drones actually deliver medication and food supplies and all that. Yeah. Who knows what they'll come up with next, but I tell you, we have to be careful what we allow. We certainly don't want to take any chips. And I would be very, very, very reluctant. In fact, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take this COVID-19 vaccine they're working on. And there are many reasons to decline it. You know, for one, they're using, in many cases, these different versions of it that are being developed. They're using aborted fetal cells to develop it, and that's not something that I would want to participate in, even if it was proven to be safe and 100% effective. But the other thing is, how could you know if it's safe or 100% effective? You know, sometimes these shots do cause damage. And a lot of times when people get the flu shot, they end up getting the flu a short time later. And I heard one person say, they're not getting the flu. It's just a reaction to the shot. But the symptoms are the same as the flu. So it's, I don't know, it just seems pretty much as bad. I tell you what, I haven't had a flu shot ever in my life. And I also haven't had the flu since I was about 12 years old. So, so far so good. But the other thing that's an issue with the flu shot, of course, is they're guessing each year which strain is going to be prevalent, and a lot of times they get it wrong, and the flu shots that they have available aren't even effective against the current strains of flu, but then they tell everyone to go and get it anyway. And of course, that goes on and on and on. But yes, there's a lot of deception in this world. And Jesus here is warning us, take heed that no man deceive you. Praise God. You know, there's something very special about people who still have the ability to think for themselves, to maintain critical thought. I'm not just going to go with whatever they're saying out there. I'm going to go by the Word of God. And that's something we should all do. You need to ask yourself, you know, what you're reading. Does this ring true? Does it line up with Scripture? And does what the preachers say line up with Scripture? Does what the prophets say line up with Scripture? It's interesting, too, you know, towards the beginning of the year, you heard about all these prophecy conferences that were going to happen, and for some reason, all these so-called prophets didn't see COVID coming. Isn't that strange? So, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And many have done that. We hear stories about that from time to time of this guy or that guy claiming to be Jesus, and he gathers a following. People can be so gullible, can't they? It seems like no matter how many of these nuts come along, they always seem to get a few people to follow them. And it's crazy. You know, people come along and say, I am Jesus. No, you're not. No, you're not. By the way, that's actually one of the things that Charles Manson claimed. He is just one of many who have done that. But, you know, these people, somehow they manage to get people to follow them. Oh, we need to lay hold on the truth. We need to have high regard for the truth. We need to stay in this book. You know, if you stay in this book, if you stay prayed up, if you let God's Spirit work in you, if you have that spirit of discernment, then that'll go a long way in preventing any deception from taking over your life. But he's warning, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So you see, there's going to be a progression, and there is a progression. This has actually been happening for a long time. This progression that he's talking about right here, these traits, these problems in the world, in society, and so forth that would happen, they've actually been going on for thousands of years. But he's warning there would be a progression here and that it would grow more and more intense as time goes on. But there were a lot of bad things that were going to happen before the end got here. And verse 7 tells us, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That's just the beginning. It gets so much worse after that. And I'm not preaching this message to try to discourage anyone, but we're just going to be real. We're going to have a frank discussion about what is happening in the world. And even despite all of that, you can still be filled with the joy of the Spirit, because even as bad as everything has gotten, and as worse as it certainly could get worse, probably will get worse, you can still take joy and comfort in the fact that Jesus is coming.
That is,
and you know, when we are with Jesus, everything that we've had to endure in this world will be worth it.
Yes.
It will be worth it all. You know, we sing that song sometimes. It will be worth it all. And the Lord will bring us through. But you have to hold on. You have to hold fast. You have to be determined to hold out to the end. Because this world is facing immense challenges. And of course, we know that the early Christian church faced many of those challenges as well. The church was so heavily persecuted. And churches today in other countries around the world are still very much persecuted. I thought this was interesting too. In China, the authorities there have been going into churches and they've been ordering people to stop worshiping Jesus and instead worship Xi Jinping, the president of that communist regime, and also Chairman Mao. You know, worship those guys. Don't worship Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. If anyone ever tells you not to worship Jesus, go ahead and keep worshiping Jesus. Because that's always the right thing to do. You know, sometimes there are certain edicts, certain commands that you can't obey. If a government comes along and they give you an order or a rule or a law and it doesn't contravene Scripture, then we do our best to comply. But if they tell you that you have to not sing at church, or you can't pray, or you're supposed to worship these communist leaders, well, then you disobey. Sometimes you have to. But yes, they're very persecuted in China. And of course, they're very persecuted in North Korea. Very persecuted in Africa. Various places in Asia. There's a lot of persecution. And we might get a taste of that in this country before long, depending on what happens in the days ahead. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know that it is getting rough out there. Now, all these things that Jesus talked about, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, all these are at the beginning of sorrows. Of course, those things have been happening for a long time, and they're still happening today. We certainly do see nation rise against nation. We see kingdom against kingdom. We see famines. We see pestilences. And pestilences and diseases, and there's so many of them now, it's hard to keep up. Of course, right now everybody's talking about coronavirus, but there's also Ebola. And even in China, they even recently had some cases of the bubonic plague, which is very concerning. It does pop up from time to time, and usually they rush to try to contain it, because if that ever spread around, that would be terrible. The bubonic plague has a 90% mortality rate. So, yes, there are a lot of diseases. There are diseases that affect crops, diseases that affect animals. Of course, last year was very difficult in China because they had that disease affecting all of their swine, all of their pigs, and they had to kill millions upon millions upon millions of those animals. They had to cull the herds. So, yes, there have been pestilences and earthquakes. There's always earthquakes. There's more earthquakes all the time. Although I should say that I did check last night, and it seems like it's been kind of a quiet month for earthquakes, because when I checked, there had only been 974 over the last 30 days. Sometimes there's quite a few more than that, but there have been some powerful ones. I know the other day in Alaska, there was a 7.8 earthquake out there, and there was actually a tsunami warning. I don't think there ended up being a tsunami, but there was a warning anyway. And yes, you see earthquakes all the time, because this planet, although we may not always perceive it, is constantly rumbling. And all of that is going to culminate eventually in a great earthquake at the end of the world, an earthquake unlike any other earthquake that has ever been felt by man. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. Now, of course, we know that, like I said, these problems have been around for a while. Wars, strife, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Oh, yes, those things have been happening. But those problems are just the beginning. Just the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, there are a lot of places in this world, sometimes even in this country, where you can't easily openly talk about Jesus because people are so hostile to it. And if you are around people who aren't hostile to it, that's a very great blessing, isn't it? Just to be able to talk about the Lord. So he's warning. And of course, we know that this is something that happened very much so to the early Christian church. In fact, the Apostle Paul had been a part of that before he was converted miraculously by God. He had been carrying off the Christian people. He persecuted the church, and some of those people actually died because of him. But thankfully, the Lord was able to completely change that situation around, and he used Paul so mightily, which just goes to show God can save anyone. You know, I don't think we're going to remember all of our problems on this planet when we get to heaven. And that's probably a good thing, because as you can imagine, otherwise it would be a little awkward for Paul, you know, when he gets there and meets some of these Christians that he persecuted. And I'm sorry about that. Well, you know, the scriptures actually tell us he thought he was doing God's service. Sometimes people think they're doing God's service when they're doing the farthest thing from it. But God changed his life, and because of that, he gave us over half of the New Testament. Praise the Lord. But yes, affliction does happen. It happened back there, and it still happens today, and there's a lot of hostility towards God's people. If you love Jesus and openly proclaim it, there's a lot of people out there who aren't going to want to hear that. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Well, now, there's an appropriate verse for the time we're living in right now. You see so much hate. People who are split along partisan lines and they can't get along. You can look at Congress as an example. They hate one another. The Democrats and the Republicans, they can't work together. It seems like they can't get anything done. Of course, they're working on another stimulus package, and that's taking a while. A lot of people are in dire straits financially, and they don't know what to do, so they're waiting to see if they're going to get more stimulus money. And you know, I can't help but think, well, President Trump said there should be another stimulus check. Nancy Pelosi says there should be another stimulus check. The Republicans say there should be another stimulus check. And the Democrats say there should be another stimulus check. So why don't they just do a bill for the stimulus check only and then work on all the other stuff that they're fighting about? It seems like that would be more efficient. Of course, if you do another stimulus package, that brings about another problem. The national debt, after they've passed this next one, is probably going to hit $27 trillion. And I saw a report recently where these experts believe that by the time the coronavirus pandemic is over, the national debt in the United States will be, get this now, $40 trillion. And, of course, like I said before, my belief is that this economy will eventually collapse, not just the one in this country, but all of the economies in the world, and they're going to try to replace it with a new one. And I highly suspect it will be a cashless society. Of course, people are more and more accustomed to that now than ever, because it's been going on for a while. People get used to using their cards, you know, and a lot of people are using their phones now to make payments. A few people have already been chipped, and that's very common in places like Sweden. You can even see that happening in the state of Wisconsin, that company up north where they microchipped all of their, well, not all of their employees, but a good number of them. I think there were over 40 who got the chip, and then they all put on T-shirts and said, "I got chipped," you know. But, you know, they think it's so awesome. They can go up to a vending machine and it scans their hand and they can just pick whatever they want, you know, a new way to pay. Yes, I think the forthcoming economy, the global one, will be cashless. And now with COVID going around, a lot of people don't want to touch cash. And now there's a coin shortage. So a lot of times if you want to spend cash, you can't anyway. If you go to a grocery store, they say, well, you have to have exact change. And unless you got some coins in your pocket or your purse or whatever, you can't pay with cash. We're seeing more and more of that. So yes, people are getting used to the cashless system. And it's very common in New York now for a lot of businesses, and this happened even before COVID, they wouldn't touch cash. If you went in there to try to pay for something, they'd say, your money's no good here. And they weren't giving it away free. They're just saying your money's no good because they wouldn't take it unless you had a card or a phone or whatever. So, yeah. We're seeing that happen as well. But we live in a time when people get so offended, don't they? They hate one another. Everything is split along partisan lines. They can't get along. They can't get anything done. And so many people are offended at every little thing. Every little thing. And when they get mad at something, they say, well, we got to cancel that, cancel this, cancel that. And they call that cancel culture. But that's the way it is. If you offend people, they want to basically cancel you. And we see that happening a lot. Now, you know, sometimes people do say stupid things, racist things, and I have no use for that. But what concerns me is it could get to a point where they want to try to cancel your Christianity. They could get to a point where if you just speak the scriptures, they're going to find that offensive. What if they want to cancel the Bible? Well, they never could, because Jesus promised that his word would be with us forever. But nevertheless, we live in a time period when people are offended at every little thing. And not only that, they hate one another. It's not just that people out there hate Christian people. There are people out there who just hate one another in general. And that's one of the traits of the end times, when there's all of this hate happening. And of course we know that hate begets violence. And that's another trait we're going to see as we get through this chapter. Violence. So, we see these things happening right now. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Well, that's been going on for a while. And the thing about being a prophet, if you're going to get up and proclaim that you are a prophet of God, there is an enormous responsibility that comes with that title. I would never claim to be a prophet unless God told me, and I knew it 100% for a fact, unless God told me that he wanted me to be a prophet, I would never get up and proclaim that I am. Because the thing is, if you say, thus saith the Lord, and it's not something he said, then you are guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. There's more than one way to do it. And furthermore, if you are a prophet, your accuracy rate must be 100%. You can't be wrong even once. If you're going to claim that you got a word from the Lord and bring it forth, it better be spot on. And if it truly is from God, it will be. But if you're going to claim that you are a true prophet of God or a prophetess or whatever the case may be, you must be accurate 100% of the time. If you're wrong even once, that makes you a false prophet. So, as you can imagine, there are a lot of false prophets. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus was talking about how people would be offended and hate one another. Why is that? And why is there so much iniquity abounding? Well, the sin in this world tends to grow. It festers, it gets worse. And as the iniquity grows and the sin grows, people become more and more cruel. The love of many shall wax cold. Because there's so much sin in this world, that's why you see so many people who are offended and hating one another. Because of sin. And that just goes to show that we really, truly need the Spirit of God working in our hearts and minds. Now, he talks about some unpleasant things in some of these verses that we just read. But there's some good news here in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh yes, you have to get ready and you have to hold on. You have to endure. Never give up. We live in a world right now where a lot of people are discouraged and a lot of people are giving up. But don't give up. Yes, it's rough. I understand that. I know it's hard. But the Lord will pull us through. Keep believing on Him. Keep trusting Him. He knows how to get you from this life to the next one. And that's the most important thing. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the worlds for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Of course, we know that the gospel is still going forth. It's still being preached. And it's reached a lot of places around the world. I'd venture a guess that most of the world has at least had an opportunity to hear the gospel. So this isn't something that still needs to happen before the Lord can come. And I don't like to limit God anyway. People say, well, this has to happen, that has to happen. I have to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and restart animal sacrifices before the Lord can come back and blah, 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 blah. I don't put limitations on God. He's going to come when He's going to come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now this verse is a verse that causes a lot of confusion amongst Christian teachers, because they think that verse 15 is talking about something that's going to happen in the future. But what's happening in verse 15 is already occurred. Verse 15 there, that's been fulfilled. That has occurred. And what Dad taught, and it depends on what year the recording you're listening to is from, but you know, over the years he had different explanations, but towards the end, what he eventually decided this meant, and I agree with it, he said, what the abomination of desolation referred to was the flag of Rome, the Pax Romana, in the temple. And that was the abomination there that made desolate. So that has been done, and we know that that verse has already been fulfilled. Keep in mind, the disciples were asking three distinct questions. They thought that the temple would be destroyed at the end of the world, but that wasn't the case. And now, Jesus, in this stretch of verses, is going to talk about when the temple is destroyed. That's a completely different event. It happened in 70 A.D. So the abomination of desolation, that has already come to pass. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Of course, we know they did that. You know, that the Roman troops came in and they surrounded Jerusalem. And then, for some inexplicable reason, they got up and left. And the Christian people who were there remembered what Jesus told them to do, and they fled to safety. They were able to get out. And then the Roman troops came back and they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed that temple. Like I said, that happened in 70 A.D., but he's warning them that this would happen. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, he's going to talk about tribulation here, and we need to understand something about tribulation. Even though he says great tribulation in this verse we're about to read, he doesn't say the great tribulation. In fact, nowhere in the King James Bible do you see the phrase "the Great Tribulation." It talks about tribulation, but it never specifically mentions a 7-year tribulation that so many people believe in. Tribulation has been happening to the Christian people since the very beginning. After the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and even before then, you know, there were stirrings of it. But yes, there was tribulation occurring back there. Tribulation has been continuous since then, and it will continue on, even until the very end. Now, we're going to see some intensifying of that in the days ahead. But it doesn't refer to a 7-year period. People like to put that off into the future, and then they say, well, we don't really have to worry about the Great Tribulation because we're all going to be raptured out of here before it happens. But keep in mind that Jesus said the tares would be gathered first. So if you're counting on a pre-trib rapture, you're going to be disappointed. We know that we will be caught up with him into heaven. But that happens at the last trump. When that happens, the show is over. Praise God. So, yes, there was tribulation, and it started all the way back there. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." Now, he's not going to permit his people to be completely destroyed by this tribulation. He's coming at just the right time. Verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Remember, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Because a lot of the people who are going to be doing the deceiving are the prophets, and the teachers, and the ministers, and the priests, and the religious figures, and all of these false Christs. Of course, you get these priests sometimes who claim to absolve your sins in the stead of Christ. Well, I think that kind of makes them little false Christs, doesn't it? But that's just one example. There are many false Christs and many antichrists. People are worried about the one antichrist. Well, there's a lot of antichrists, and there have been, even dating back to early Christianity. We know that John wrote about it in his epistles. Many antichrists, not just one. They've been around for a while. Verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, if you ever turn on your TV and watch CNN or whatever you have, and say, "Well, Jesus came back yesterday and he's over there in the desert." Don't believe it. You know, you're not going to have to wonder if Jesus came back after he comes back. There's going to be no ambiguity about it. Everyone is going to know it. Everyone is going to see it. Everyone is going to experience it. It's not going to be a question you even have to ask. Did Jesus come? And a really easy way to tell if Jesus came or not is if there's a next day. Because once Jesus comes, there's no more next day. Yes, we know he came the first time to seek and to save, but he's coming the second time to judge. And when that happens, the show is over. Time shall be no longer. And I'm okay with that. Because in the absence of time, we get to spend eternity with our Savior. Praise the Lord. We won't need time anymore. Hallelujah. But if you ever see on the news, I don't know what you watch, if it's CNN or Fox News or NBC News, whatever the case may be, if they ever say, well, Jesus came back, don't you believe it. And it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to do that. Because Jesus here is warning us about it. So it wouldn't surprise me if they actually tried to pull that off. But if there's a next day, you don't have to wonder about it. No one is going to wonder about the coming of the Lord. What I'm trying to say is they're not going to wonder if it happened. Everyone is going to know it. Everyone. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles. There will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And what does the book of Revelation say? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Praise God. And by the way, when it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, it is talking about a cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone on before. Those who are present with the Lord right now. He's bringing them back to be witnesses. Praise the Lord. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And of course it's talking about the generation under consideration, which is going to be the generation alive at the end of all things. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, you get all these people, these scientists and so forth, who are desperately trying to save the earth. But they're fighting a losing battle because Jesus tells us heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. And the good news is he's making a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. Now, another thing we need to always remember, that if anyone ever says, oh, I figured out when Jesus is going to come back, I've got the date. If anyone ever says that, and people have tried, and let me tell you something, everyone who has tried to do that in the past has been wrong. The failure rate for predictions of when Jesus is coming back has been 100%. So if anyone ever tries to tell you, I figured it out, don't believe them. Because no man knows the day or the hour. And sometimes they try to work around that and say, well, we don't know the day or the hour, but we can figure out the year. You know, it's, nope. No one knows when it's going to be. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And of course, what was one of the traits of Noah's day? What made God so angry when he looked at the earth at that time? It was corrupt and it was filled with violence. And the same thing is happening in our world right now. So while we don't know the day or the hour, we do know that we're getting closer because these things are happening. The time period today is very much like the days of Noah. Verse Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now people read those verses and think, well, see, that's talking about a pre-trib rapture, right? Nope. And I will admit that I don't know specifically how this is going to play out, how this separation will take place, but I do know, I can say with absolute 100% certainty, that that is not talking about a pre-trib rapture. And the reason I can say that is because there are parallel verses in Luke chapter 17. Let's turn there right now and look at this. You see, you have to take the whole counsel of God, you read the whole thing, because sometimes Scripture will help you interpret Scripture. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to see that in this chapter, Jesus makes a very similar statement to what we just read in Matthew 24. Let's start with verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And you know how we can know with absolute certainty that this isn't talking about a pre-trib rapture? Verse 37 tells us, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? In other words, where are these people taken? These people who are carried off. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. In other words, those people who are taken first are dead. Now, I don't know specifically how all that is going to happen. But I can tell you that it's not going to be a pre-trib rapture. Who knows, maybe they're carried off to be quarantined or something. But we know it's not the pre-trib rapture. Scripture helps us understand Scripture. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Verse 42 tells us, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Which is another verse that proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that no one will ever figure out when it's going to be, because it's going to be a moment where no one's expecting it. You're not going to figure that out. He says right here, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. When is Jesus coming back? In an hour ye think not. And that's why he's telling us to be ready. And we need to be ready, because we see signs unfolding. I don't know how long it will take for all this to play out. None of us know that. But we do know that we always need to be ready to meet our King. Because even if we do live to be a ripe old age, that will be the end of the world for you and for me. And then we have to go and stand before our King. You need to be ready to do that. Because this life can be over in a flash. It can be over in a flash. So be ready. Well, we know we're getting closer. We can sense it. We see all the things happening. We can sense we are getting closer. That day when the Lord comes back. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord. You know, I can't believe how quickly time has gone. There are other scriptures I wanted to get to, so we're going to try. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But yes, we need to be ready, because we know we're drawing near to the coming of our Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 1. Yes, you need to get ready. Get ready to see your King. And you need to hold on. Hold fast. Hold on for dear life. And never let go of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, which lines up perfectly with what we just read, doesn't it? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Of course, they've been saying peace and safety for a long time, haven't they? They've been trying to establish lasting peace, and they can't do it, because you'll never have lasting peace if you don't have the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Pay attention to what's happening around you. Pay attention to your surroundings. Make sure you look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And hold on. Hold fast to what you know to be true. Verse 7, For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Praise God. I am so glad that He did that for you and for me. Verse 11, Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And of course, the word edify means to build up. And that's one of the things we can do for each other. And that's something we need in these unpredictable times that we live in. We need to build one another up. Praise God. Verse 12, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Yes, there certainly should be peace in the church of God. We're supposed to try to live peaceably with all men, but there definitely needs to be peace in the church. Praise God. Verse 14, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And yes, these are days that will test your patience. No doubt. And people are feeling this pressure, and a lot of people are probably feeling more so feeble-minded than before. So yes, we need to do what we can to help people. Verse 15, See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this is a nice little to-do list, a handy to-do list, in case you're wondering, what should I do with my day? How should I spend my time? Well, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to Jesus and never let go. Get ready and hold on. And it also says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Praise God. And I really hope I have time to do this. I know time is ticking, but Revelation chapter 3. We'll try to go there quickly. Praise God. Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to look at the message that God gave the church of Philadelphia. Of course, we know that there were seven churches, and they all received a special message from God in this book of Revelation. Let's look at what he says to the church in Philadelphia. Beginning with Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, it tells us, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Praise God, that's important. And this is a template for all of us to follow. Keep his word. Don't deny his name. Verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Of course, not everyone who claims to be a Jew is a Jew. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Oh yes, that hour of temptation is coming. And temptation doesn't just refer to, you know, the lustful things or whatever the case may be. Temptation can be a lot of different things. Even temptation to give up. But you can't do that. Oh yes, this hour is coming when the world will be tried. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Yes, hold on for dear life. Don't let anyone hinder your walk with Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. I'm going to read it again. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So yes, get ready and hold on. Hold fast, because you don't want to lose that crown. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning. Thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the reassurance we find in Scripture. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to all lay hold on thy promises, to hold fast to thy word, to hold fast to thy spirit, to hold fast to thy gifts, and help us, O God, to always abide in thy will, to be obedient to thy will, to do thy will. Help us, O God, strengthen us. Give us persistence, Lord. Give us strength to endure, Lord, for we know that there are many trying things happening in this world right now, but we know that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We pray, Lord, that we will all be in that number, and we ask, Lord, that thou would watch over all thy people, strengthen thy people, give us the ability to walk with thee for the entirety of our lives, both day and night. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. I didn't intend to go that long today. I guess that just happens sometimes. We're going to sing a song in closing. Let's open our melodies of praise hymnals. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 59 and sing When We See Christ, number 59. Times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. There is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem, just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the divide to glory safe at last. Share the joys of heaven, a heart, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Christ will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely
Hallelujah. You're all dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.